It's time to talk about Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. And now, here's Ira.
What's better than the comedy of two voices in one? Well, that's my guest, Mark Merchant. He's performing in the A-Stars comedy show at the Ahern Hotel this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, June 27th through the 29th. For ticket information, go to ahernhotel.com. And for everything about Mark Merchant, go to markmerchant.com, and you can follow him on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. And Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me to be on the show. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're all happy to be here, I think, in the general theme of life, don't you think?
Yes, that's a theme of mine that I'm happy, and I am. A magician friend of mine, Jack Goldfinger, told me that at a wedding in 2009. Instead of saying, I'm okay, I'm fine, say, I'm happy. And it has changed my life in a good way, because you say it, you feel it, and you say it to somebody, I'm happy, and they go, really? And they definitely reacted to good. The only time somebody reacted in an unpleasant way, I got stopped for a high-speed driving award, driving in Georgia too fast. And when the Georgia State Patrolman came to the window, he said, good afternoon, how are you? And I said, I'm happy. He said, really? I said, well, maybe not so much. Yeah.
Did you end up getting the ticket?
Yes, but he knocked the speed down. So
there you go. And therefore you were happy.
Yes. And I haven't received, that was 10 years ago. So I've that's the only high speed driving award I've had in my years on this planet.
I like the way you call it, high speed driving award. Now, Mark, I introduced you as the comedy of two voices in one. Now, you seem to be one person, at least for our viewers who can see you, they see one person, along with a great photo of Johnny Carson in the background, which I'll ask you about later. But where did you decide to come up with the comedy of two voices in one, and why?
Well, being a professional ventriloquist for over 40 years, one of the first cruise ships on which I ever entertained, the TSS Mardi Gras in 1978, the cruise director introduced me the very first show I did as, please welcome the comedy of two voices in one, Mark Merchant. And so a shout out to the late, great Rex Richards, the first cruise director with whom I ever worked, who dubbed me the two voices of Mark Merchant. So
now, did you end up paying him a royalty for as long as he was around?
No, he never asked for one, and I never volunteered.
Well, was he happy you were using that intro in your career?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I worked with him one other time as a cruise director, and I told him, I said, my business card now says the comedy of two voices in one. And he said, well, good. I'm glad you're getting some use out of it, because I am a professional ventriloquist. I love being a ventriloquist, but sometimes the word ventriloquist, people associate it with either a kid's entertainer, or they've seen a bad ventriloquist, or they're expecting a superstar ventriloquist like Jeff Dunham, who is a friend of mine, and I'm as good as him, but for some reason, Jeff has a lot more zeros in his bank account.
I noticed that, yes. He does.
You've obviously done a credit check.
Yes, I have. But I still wanted you on the show. Well, so you started this out as a boyhood hobby in Atlanta, Georgia, which I detect that slight accent, but it's not as strong as other people I know who have an accent.
No, having been a radio announcer, a disc jockey in the 70s, I worked hard to rid myself of some of that Southern grit. But I've been back in Atlanta now, especially since the pandemic. I have more shows on land, and also my wife has a very strong Southern accent, which I adore. So sometimes it comes back. But yes, I am. I'm an Atlanta native. Lived here all my life.
Oh, that's great. You mentioned your wife. So when did you and where did you meet her? And was she impressed or not impressed with the rest of your act? And I want to say the rest of your act because you're a ventriloquist. So clearly your voice goes into other things besides yourself.
Yes, hence the two voices, and it's several voices. Also, right. As I tell people sometimes, I started doing ventriloquism when I was 10 years old. And I think my parents were so concerned about my multiple personalities, they wanted to have me checked out. But the fact that I was able to start making money doing this and paid my way through college, they didn't mind. But I met my wife, Ira, in May of 1986. I was performing, I was doing a tour of school shows. And I know that sometimes not the height of show business, but also it's not the lowest point of show business. You're doing cultural arts programs. And I had a teacher's guide and a good friend of mine, a magician friend of mine, arranged these shows for me. I was taking a break from cruise ships and I went to Camp Creek Elementary School and I did a bit where I got a teacher on stage. The show was for the kids and the show was certainly kid friendly and and a bit of education about the history of ventriloquism. And I invited this beautiful teacher on stage. I'm no dummy. And a beautiful redhead. And she came on stage and I did an audience participation bit where I literally turned her into the puppet for a minute, just squeezed her shoulder and with permission, as she made me to, and she moved and I made her sing the song Do Re Mi. And she was just so animated and just had such a good time that when she went to sit down, my puppet, one of my puppets named Sherwood, he said, "Miss Osborne, you did such a good job. I think Mark ought to take you out to dinner. What do you think, boys and girls?" And about 600 kids went, "Yay!" And and that night, I was 32 years old, and I was at home. I'd sold my condominium in Atlanta because I was traveling so much. It really made no sense, especially with interest rates as high as they were then. So I sold it, and when I was home, I was living with my mom and dad. Real success story. That should have scared the heck out of her.
That scared the heck out of me.
So when I went to the desk at the school to get my check, I said to the secretary, whose name was Rachel, I said, "I got a teacher on stage named Miss Osborne, and I invited her to dinner." Well, my puppet did. "Can I have her telephone number?" And of course, the receptionist went, "Security."
And yes, said, I would immediately. Absolutely.
"No, you can't have her number." I said, "Well, here's my card." And so when Cindy went to check out of the school that day, Rachel said, "Oh, Cindy, that ventriloquist guy, Mark Merchant, left his card, said he wanted to take you to dinner." And Cindy said, "Oh, he probably says that at all the schools. I'm not going to call him." And this secretary at this school, good Southern Baptist, said, "You ought to call him. Get him to take you to dinner on one of those cruise ships on which he works." And that night, the telephone rang, and it was my business phone was then being forwarded to my home phone, my parents' house, and my mother answered the phone. And she handed it to me and said, "It's for you, Mark." And I said, "Hello." And this great Southern feminine voice said, "Mark Merchant?" I said, "Yes." And she said, "This is Miss Osborne, the second grade teacher." I said, "Yes." She said, "Is that your wife that answered the phone?"
"No, it's worse. It's my mother."
I said, "Yeah, that's my mother." She said, "Are you sure?" I said, "I'm positive. I've never been married." She said, "Well, one doesn't know about these entertainer types." So yeah, she was already clued into. And she said, "You mentioned you want to take me to dinner. Why don't you take me to dinner on one of those cruises?" And I said, "Well, before we occupy an 8x12 room for a week, we ought to get to know each other." And she said, "That'd be a good idea." And I said, "Look, I have 2 weeks of work coming up on cruises, but when I get home, I would love to take you out to dinner." And I even sent her a postcard. I mean, back in the day, people used to actually send postcards to the mail.
With stamps on them,
Yes, from Grand Cayman Island. She got it last week. And and so when I got home, it was Memorial Day, 1986. I took her on a date. We saw the movie Top Gun. We went to eat at Chili's. And she was smart. She is smart. She's got a great personality and she's beautiful. And we started dating and we fell in love. And about 8 weeks after our meeting, I did take her on a cruise with me on Royal Caribbean. And we continued to date. And 2 years later, we eloped. We got married on stage at a convention at which I was performing in Gatlinburg, Tennessee in 1988. It was a magician's convention, the Winter Carnival of Magic. And I was hired to do my ventriloquist act at a magician's convention because they're tired of people with cards and doves and silk handkerchiefs.
Right.
And Cindy came up with me and the ski slopes were closed. We couldn't go skiing And I said, if we can't go skiing, let's just get married. And she said, yeah. So we eloped. We got married on stage. The only two people who knew about it were the MC of the show and the magic act who was closing the show. And that was an illusion act, Jody and Jennifer Barron, great act. And I had to tell them because I wanted them to know what my final thing was. And so at about 13 minutes into my act, and I was scheduled to do 20 minutes, I said a joke to my partner about, I'm going to get married tonight. And I invited Cindy on stage. And then I said, is there a minister in the house? And I knew there was because I'd already paid him to be there. Mm-hmm. Reverend Parsons, what a great name for a minister. Reverend Parsons came on stage. And in 6 minutes and 31 seconds, he married us. And we have a videotape of it because they were videoing the show for the Magicians Convention. And you can hear people on the camera go, is this for real? And we got a huge standing ovation. And then we sat down in the audience and watched the closing act. And
well, that was nice. Because most people would have gotten married on stage and left immediately for the show. But no, you stayed for the final act.
I stayed for the final act and went into the magician's dealer's room. And one dealer congratulated me, and he sold production items like feather flowers. And he said, look, I'm going to give you a present. And he gave me a magician's feather flower that when you blow on it, it wilts. I'm like, you're giving me a wilting flower on the night I got married? I don't want this to be prophetic. But we've been married 36 years, and she's the light of my life. And that's her. Right there.
For those that are listening, he's just showing me a picture of his lovely wife and Mark. Yeah, great. I love the red hair.
Yes, I love the red hair too. Once you go red.
Yeah, I understand. Now, you know, the only mistake you made, now that I think of it, is that for the surprise wedding at the convention, you didn't invite Rachel.
I did not invite Rachel. No. Who's Rachel?
The one that put you on to said that she should go out with.
The secretary. Yes.
Yeah, well, how soon we forget, Mark.
Yes. Well, you know, Ira, I had never been married, and this is my one and only marriage. Cindy had been married once before, 1,000 years before, and only for a brief time. And so a big wedding didn't mean anything to her. I had been engaged many times.
Well, no, this wasn't the fact that it was a big wedding. It was just the concept of closing the circle by inviting the lady that she go out with you.
Yes, you know, you've made a point that I've never, because I called my mom and dad, and Cindy called her mom and dad, but we didn't want to jinx it. We didn't tell them that getting married.
Does Rachel know about the marriage?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
My wife still goes to reunions of the elementary school at which she taught for many years. And she always sees Rachel, and Cindy always says, you were the motivation for me to call Mark Merchant. And we've been married 36 years.
That's great.
Thanks or spanks her. I'm not sure.
I'm looking behind you, and for our listeners, as opposed to our viewers, there is a framed photo of Johnny Carson. Why is that on your wall?
Well, it's a framed autograph photo of Johnny Carson. My first year of working on cruise ships, a good friend of mine who worked on the ship, another performer and crew staff member, her name, Christine D'Aquila, she wrote to, and that was when you could actually get through to somebody. She wrote to Carson Productions and sent some information and said, my friend Mark Merchant is a big fan. Of course, I'd like to be on the show. I never was, but could I have an autographed photo? And they mailed it to her. And I have checked it out with other people who have Johnny Carson's signature. And it really is. He really did autograph it. So that was very cool.
Yeah, that was another time and place when they did that kind of stuff.
Yes. Yeah, I think Carson set the standard for talk show host. It will never be reached, and it certainly won't be eclipsed. David Letterman came close, I think, but that was then and this is now.
Yeah, no, this is true. And speaking of now, you're coming to the Ahern to perform. And yes. Of course, you've been to Las Vegas before. Do you like Las Vegas? Because you're in Atlanta, Georgia. It's a whole different scene from being on cruise ships and being in Atlanta, Georgia, and going to conventions. And all of a sudden, now you're in Las Vegas. And you've been in Las Vegas before. But do you find it a very interesting town?
I love Las Vegas. I love all of the activity. I certainly love all the shows. When I first started in this business, back when I still covered the earth, two of my goals, two of my big goals, to play Las Vegas and to be on The Tonight Show. And one of those goals has not been achieved, but I have played Las Vegas and I've played casinos, Reno, Lake Tahoe, Atlantic City, the Bahamas. But Las Vegas still to me is like the pinnacle of show business success. And there used to be, as you know, there used to be a lot of production shows that had specialty acts,
right?
Variety acts, magicians, ventriloquists, jugglers, all kinds of performers. Sadly, I don't think those shows really exist anymore.
That's a different time and place. I wanted to get back to something you talked about in the when you began as a kid. So you received a Danny O'Day dummy and an instruction record. Who was Danny O'Day, so our audience understands where you're coming from? And then maybe we can talk about who your, I don't know if you want to call them dummies. What do you call the people you work with on a regular basis on stage?
I call them characters.
I like that. Okay.
But I'm not a purist. I will, some ventriloquist voice tossers will never refer to their puppet as a dummy. It's just a word. So sometimes I will call him or her or whatever their pronoun is a dummy. But I think character is a better word.
Yeah, I do. I mean, the material I received from you has the word dummy in it. So I decided to use the word dummy. But it's funny now that you made me think about where that word came from, because it can apply all kinds of stuff. In this case, we're talking about characters that you work with on a regular basis, whether in Las Vegas or on a cruise ship. So who are some of these characters? First of all, who was Danny O'Day? And then who are some of the characters that you work with?
Danny O'Day was the character, the main puppet of a great ventriloquist in the 50s and 60s named Jimmy Nelson. Jimmy Nelson, if anybody listening who grew up in the era that I did, on Saturday mornings, they ran a lot of commercials for Nestle's Quick. And Danny O'Day was the puppet that was the voice of Nestle's Quick. Jimmy Nelson, the ventriloquist, Danny O'Day, one puppet, Farfel the dog, the other puppet, and Danny O'Day would sing the Nestle jingle, N-E-S-T-L-E-S, Nestle's makes the very best. And Farfel the dog would go, chocolate, and his mouth would snap. And Jimmy Nelson made a lot of money and a lot of fans, and he doing that. And he performed in nightclubs and he did television. He did the Sullivan Show. I don't know if he ever did the Tonight Show, but he was the first ventriloquist to put out a record, as in a vinyl album. It was called Instant Ventriloquism, How to Be a Ventriloquist. And it had the basic instructions. And it also, of course, had a little booklet that had some of the dialogue that you would do. And so Jimmy Nelson, who passed away in 2019, I believe, 2019 or 2020, he was, he not only taught a lot of people around my age, like Jay Johnson, who won a Tony Award doing ventriloquism, learned from Jimmy Nelson. Jeff Dunham learned from Jimmy Nelson. Terry Fader learned from Jimmy Nelson, all from that record, Instant Ventriloquism. And so I owe a debt of gratitude to Jimmy Nelson and
Danny O'Day,
Farfel the dog.
How did your parents know to give you that information, the record and the dummy? I mean, in other words, did they see something in you that they knew you wanted to work with that kind of material?
Great question. And absolutely true answer. When I was 8 years old and in Cub Scouts at a blue and gold banquet, a man came and did a show for us. His name was Clem Fortner. He was an Atlanta police officer, but he also did magic and ventriloquism as a side hustle. And he used to talk about his nice house in a suburb of Atlanta, McDonough, Georgia. He used to call it the house that magic built, because he was doing shows at Cub Scout banquets, churches, civic clubs, along with being a police officer. And then he stayed in law enforcement as a profession, but he made a lot of great money as a performer, and he did magic and ventriloquism. And I liked the magic, but I really liked the ventriloquism. And when he came out with his puppet, and his puppet, his character was named Sam. And at one point in the show, at the Cub Scout banquet, Sam said, "I want to sing a song." And Clem said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, I'm going to sing a song from Mark Merchant." And of course, the rest of the Cub Scouts all laughed and looked at me, but I wasn't embarrassed. I was amazed. I thought, this is so cool. Now, why did he pick my name? Because my dad was the assistant scoutmaster and my dad hired him. And my dad said, hey, maybe you could mention my son in the show. So being a consummate professional, Clem Fortner did mention me in the show. And I took up an interest in magic, but I had a stuffed animal that I used to try to do little shows with. And so Christmas time, 1964, I was 10 years old. What was under the tree? A Danny O'Day dummy and the record album. And I still was interested in the magic, but the ventriloquism, the first time I did a show, Ira, for a real group when I was in the fifth grade, my teacher, Mr. Caldwell, and he was a light bulb moment in my life. He let me do like a 30-minute show in the afternoon for my class. And I did magic and ventriloquism. And in the ventriloquism part, Mr. Caldwell said, Merchant, because he always called kids, especially boys, by their last name. He said, Merchant, that's the best part of your show. And it's funny, one of the jokes that I did, which was in the script that the Jimmy Nelson record, I said, how do you like this audience? And my little dummy said, I like that bald-headed man over there, which was Mr. Caldwell. And I said, you shouldn't call him bald. Tell him you're sorry. He goes, I'm sorry, sir. You're not bald. You're just too tall for your hair. I mean, that joke goes back to the Ark, I'm certain. But the kids laughed and Mr. Caldwell laughed. And that's another light bulb moment. I thought, wait, I'm making a joke about him and he's able to laugh at it, probably because it's coming from a character.
Exactly. Do you see, before you introduce your characters, do you still have the Danny O'Day dummy and the instruction record somewhere in your archive?
Yes, 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 of course I do. I later met, I would see Jimmy Nelson as an adult at ventriloquist conventions, and he was such a nice guy. And he, as Jay Johnson said, he not only taught me to be a ventriloquist, he taught a lot of young men how to be a gentleman because he was a consummate professional. And so he autographed it for me. So yes, I treasure that. And I still have my original. Well, it's not the original Danny O'Day dummy. The first Danny O'Day dummy that came out of the Sears catalog, after about two shows as a kid, the string broke. And my mother, the great Peggy Merchant, marched it back to Sears and came back with another Danny O'Day dummy. Right. It had a better looking sport jacket and it's obviously a stronger string.
Right. That's great. Well, we have a few minutes left, so would you like to introduce one or more of your characters?
Absolutely.
And who do we have here?
Hi.
Hi.
You look in the camera?
I'm not looking in the camera. Yeah. Hi.
Hi.
Daddy. Who's your daddy?
No. This is Baby Big Ears.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Are you going to the Ahern?
I don't know.
You want to gamble?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How old are you?
I don't know.
Are you a boy or a girl?
I don't know. I need a gender reveal party.
What's your pronoun?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. You like music?
I do.
Yeah.
First words I ever said.
Yeah.
The name of the singer.
A singer.
Yeah.
Springsteen.
Gaga.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, look. I can see Ira. Hi. Where are
Hi.
You?
Hi. How are you?
He's sitting in the city. Wow. There's a Ferris wheel. There's everything. Wow. You don't have such an interesting background.
I do. Yes. It's Baby Big Ears, Stanley.
Yeah.
And Baby Big Ears, I like him.
Thank Perfect. You.
Whatever you are. Thank you.
And he's got his
feet. Yes.
This puppet, great. This puppet came from a performer who lived in Las Vegas named Tom Mullica. He was a magician. He passed away a few years ago, and he did a little bit of ventriloquism, and he acquired this puppet from a great puppet maker named Tim Selberg in 1980. And when I visited Tom in like 81, and he showed me the puppet, he wasn't doing ventriloquism anymore. And I said, Tom, if you ever want to sell that puppet. And in 1997, Tom called me and he said, Mark, you've always had an interest in this character. And he let me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I adopted him.
No, he sold me like a slave.
No, he wanted to say, don't say that. It's the wrong data set. This lady will certainly be with me at the Ahern. She loves Vegas.
That's June 27th through the 29th. Whoa.
Yeah. Oh, hi.
Hi. For those who can't see, you're quite the looker.
Tell him your name. Hello, I'm Bruce Jenner. No.
Oh, wait, that's not right.
No,
And this is Zelda Rouge.
Yes.
And
Zelda, you have this wonderful red hair. You look a little, I hate to use this term, it's an old term, but you might apply. Mark may agree, may disagree. You look a little like a floozy.
Well, whatever that is, I guess I am.
And we're going to be in Las Vegas. Yes, at the Ahern.
Yes,
yes. And you go to a pool.
Yeah, yeah. You wear a pool dress.
Right.
Yeah.
You go to a club.
You wear a club dress.
Right. We're going to the strip.
Oh, what do I wear?
It doesn't matter. How old are you?
76.
76.
Not at the Ahern.
All right. It's a great place, the Ahern.
I know.
You're going to go there.
I'm going to the AA meeting.
The AA.
Yes.
You're going for the...
I'm going to have a drink.
Yeah. Which one?
Tequila and prune juice.
Tequila and prune juice.
Yeah.
What's that called?
A Mexican Roadrunner.
Very good.
Don't move your lips.
I'm not going to move my lips.
Yeah.
Speak from your diaphragm.
I don't wear one.
Never mind.
Yes.
It was a pleasure meeting you, young lady.
I hope I get to meet you in person.
I will come by and see you.
Okay.
Maybe we can go for a drink.
I'd love to. I'll talk to the lady. Get away.
That's it. Thank you.
Ow.
Do you have fun with the characters at home at all, or do you let it go and you don't terrorize the wife with the characters?
I never terrorize her, but I never let it go. I my wife sometimes says that it's like there's not an off button, but
right.
You know, she would.
But she's used to it after all these years, right?
Yes, yes, yes. And she, you know, one of her favorite lines is, I'll try a new joke on her that I think is really a good joke. And I'll say, doesn't it just kill you? And she'll go, no, it just kind of makes me sick.
Now I see why you retain that slight accent, because, of course, she's also from Georgia. So, yeah.
A great smile, by the way, Ira. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
I used to be a dental hygienist 1,000 years ago. I have a degree in broadcast journalism and a degree in dental hygiene. So if this ventriloquism thing doesn't work out, I was cleaning teeth in 1978 when I got the call from Carnival Cruise Lines to go entertain. There's still a patient sitting in a dental office in Buckhead in Atlanta going,
Hey, before I let you go, because you perform so much on cruise lines, do you get the run of the ship as a performer? So you get to go not just on the customer side, but on the cruise side, so you can eat where you want and sleep where you want. You get your own room, obviously, and all that, but you get the run of the ship, right?
It's a hybrid. Some cruise ships, because you're on as a guest entertainer, You're not allowed into any crew areas. You're just not. Some you're allowed into some crew areas, and others, like some cruise lines today, want to sign on a guest entertainer on the crew manifest, and you go through the same rigmarole that anybody coming to work on the ship to scrub the deck or wash dishes or cook food. And I mean, that's what you sign up for. I prefer, it's not being an elitist, but I prefer to be able to have run of the passenger area.
Sure. Because especially if people see you perform on the ship, they want to come up to you and say hello and, hey, I enjoyed the show, et cetera. It's a nice touch. So when you're in Vegas, you're going to be doing three shows at the Ahern. What time at the Ahern for the three shows with all that motley crew of characters?
The show starts, Ira, at 8:00. And the great Lorenzo Clark is the MC and host, and he'll do the opening set. And then he and Donnie Haas, I believe her name is, Donnie, she is a performer. And then I'm the headliner. And so the show will run, probably the whole show will like run an hour and a half, hour and 45. But the shows start at 8:00 each night. And the Ahern is a great room. I'm really looking forward to returning to it. Just my opening night, the 27th, I'm up against the first presidential debate. So either way, you get to see talking dummies. Ah, thank you.
Very good. Well, that's a great way to leave it. My guest has been the comedy of two voices in one, Mark Merchant. He's headlining in the A-Stars comedy show at the Ahern Hotel this Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, June 27th. Through the 29th, along with presidential candidates. For ticket information, go to ahernhotel.com. And for everything about Mark Merchant, Go to markmerchant.com and you can follow him on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and X. And Mark, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for inviting me. This was a pleasure. This is the most fun I've had in a podcast.
Oh, excellent. I like that. See you next time.
You've been listening to Talk About Las Vegas with Ira. Each week, Ira David Sternberg talks with the celebrities, entertainers, writers, and personalities who make Las Vegas the most exciting city in the world. Hey, Las Vegas.